Welcome everyone to the very first episode of It's All French to Me. I'm your host John, and this is my brand new podcast on French culture. Do you need a good laugh? Do you fancy a song that you won't be able to get out of your head? Do you, like me, have a sweet tooth? In this, our very first episode, we'll look at a 70s classic film, a tune with hidden meanings, and a patisserie to die for. So it's a recommendation show on all things French and my favourite things about France. Every fortnight I'm going to be bringing you a few of my favourite things and suggestions. I'm going to be regularly including films and songs, but I'm also going to include from time to time things like places, food and drink, restaurants, shops, something a bit more cultural, poems, artwork, books. And I'm also going to include, just for fun, a bit of education. I'm going to include a word of the day. So it's not specifically a travel blog or a language educational podcast or even a current affairs podcast. I'm not French. My first language isn't French. I just love all things French, including the language, the country, the people, the food, and especially the culture. So by this point, you might be thinking, why does this guy love France so much? Does he know that much about France? And does he actually even speak French? To which I would reply, oui, je parle français, je me débrouille. So I get by. I definitely wouldn't say I'm the world's best expert in the French language. So for the reason why I love the French language and France, or all things French, so much, well, I'm going to leave that for a little bit later. And what qualifies me around the knowledge of sharing my things, French and my knowledge of France, there's nothing really. But I suppose for a bit of background, we'd have to go back to 1999 when I'd just finished school. It was thanks to my A-level French, which I should mention I achieved with merit in oral. Very proud of that. Even though my old French teacher actually told me the day before my exams, my A-level exams, that I won't pass. I just won't pass. But I know back then, so I'm really pleased that I did. And I got it wasn't the best grade, but it was a passable grade. I know now that she was just trying to light a fire under me, as it were, to succeed. She wanted me to succeed. But it was thanks to that qualification that put me in good stead to be successful in a job at Disneyland Paris, which I applied for after seeing it in an advert in a local paper in the UK. So I moved to France in the summer of 1999 to work at Disneyland Paris. So I started off as a waiter. I then became a barman and a barman supervisor. Cut to 3 years later, and I was still loving my life in Paris. I had the most fantastic experience working for Disneyland Paris. I'd highly recommend it to anybody who's thinking of working abroad, especially in France. So it was a fantastic job. I got to meet so many fantastic people from all over the world, actually, a lot of whom I'm still friends with today. And actually, I'm really hoping I can actually persuade to come on this podcast a little bit later when I'm a bit more established to maybe interview and reminisce on old times about France. So after 3 years, I started working for Thalys, the international train company, which goes from Paris to Holland and to Belgium. I also worked for a year part-time working for Eurostar as well. During my time in France, it was a great opportunity to discover so much about France, the people, their customs, their traditions. I then returned to the UK, where I actually got a job working as a French teacher in my old high school. So I was teaching GCSE French. So that's a brief potted history of my French connection. So since moving back to the UK, the only chance I get of practicing my French is through watching films, listening to music, reading books, which is why I thought this idea for a podcast is a great idea, not only to share my experiences and to make suggestions to people who have similar interests to me, but also a way of practicing my French as well. So without any further ado or any more of my babbling, allons-y, let's go. Actually, let's be a little less formal. On y va. So to kick things off with my very first suggestion, here's a segment I'm going to call Deja Vu Film Review. I'm going to be talking about one of my all-time favourite films, La Cage aux Folles. It's actually a trilogy, and unlike many trilogies, numbers 2 and 3 are just as good as, if not better than the original in some ways. And I'm quite sure, hopefully, I'll be able to talk about those in future episodes. But today I'm going to be concentrating on the original La Cage aux Folles. So for those of you who don't know, it was originally written as a play. I'm not sure when the play came out, but the film that I'm talking about is from 1978. So it's a classic French comedy. So the literal translation of La Cage aux Folles is the cage of the mad women. But folle, it also has a double entendre, a double meaning. In colloquial French, it's the feminine French word for gay boy or gay man. So it's got a double meaning with La Cage aux Folles. So the subject matter was quite controversial in its time, in the 70s. It's about a gay couple who live in the south of France, in Saint-Tropez, whose son announces that he's going to marry the daughter of a local French politician who's about to be re-elected. So, of course, it creates, it would be absolute scandal if this story got out for the father. And it creates a bit of a drama, especially, not only is it a gay couple, but one of the couple is actually a drag queen who performs every night in the bar that they own. They live above a bar. So the bar is actually called La Cage aux Folles. For those of you who haven't guessed it yet or who haven't actually seen it yet, there was a fantastic English remake made in the late 90s, starring the late, great Robin Williams, and his partner in it was Nathan Lane. Another fantastic actor. Great, great story with Christine Baranski and Ally McBeal. What's her name? Calista Flockhart was also the daughter in it as well. So this film stars the fantastic Michel Serrault, who, he's done some great, French films. He's a great French actor. And his husband in it is Ugo Tognazzi, who's a really famous Italian actor. Now, the funny thing is here, I'm going to mention at this point, for those of you who know us, a lot of people have actually made the comparison between my life and their life because there's quite a few similarities. I am actually married to an Italian, and that the only difference is in the film, the drag queen is played by the French actor. In my real life, my husband's actually a drag queen as well. For those of you who are interested, he is the fantastic Miss Rubella Vaccine, also known as Miss Ruby V to his friends. So what I like about this film is the one-liners, the character of Albin Mouchot, who's who his drag name, so that's the character name. His drag name is Zaza Napoli, a flamboyant, over-the-top drag queen who reminds me very much of my husband, I have to say. it's all set in France, obviously, in Saint-Tropez, and to the backdrop of a fantastic soundtrack by Ennio Morricone. I think that's how you pronounce it, but fantastic soundtrack as well. Well worth a listen in its own right. Ugo Tognazzi plays the other half of the couple, who his character's name is Renato Baldi. So as the film goes on, the son and his new fiance want to introduce the two sets of parents. And he just can't bring himself to introduce his two dads, basically. So they come up with a plan to ask for help from his biological mum, who agrees. But obviously this puts Alban's back up. And in the end, he decides he's gonna dress in drag and he's going to appear at the meal, pretending to be mum. So a lot of chaos ensues. I won't give too much away how the film ends. If you like a little bit of farce, if you like laugh out loud comedy, this one's definitely for you. I should just mention it, obviously it's in French as the first language. It's also been recorded in Italian and English as well. Now, I definitely would not recommend hearing the dubbed English version, as it doesn't translate well, and the voices that they've used for the voiceover actors are horrendous. So as long as you can put it up with subtitles, I would highly recommend that you watch the film with subtitles. Another fun fact is that when it was being recorded, Ugo Tognazzi actually spoke Italian when actually filming it. If you watch the film, he's actually speaking Italian, his lines in Italian. Then Michel Serrault is responding in French. But then when it was dubbed, obviously, when it was dubbed in Italian, Michel Serrault, the French lines were dubbed into Italian. But Ugo had already done the Italian version because it was already him speaking Italian, and vice versa in with the French version. So Ugo Tognazzi, although he originally recorded it in Italian, it's been dubbed into French in the French version. Rumour has it about Ugo Tognazzi speaking Italian is that he actually refused to speak French. That's why he speaks his dialogue in Italian. But I'm not sure if that is 100% correct, but that's what the rumour is around why that happened that way. So it's quite unusual in that sense. I've never seen another film like that, but it's definitely worth something to look out for when watching it. So after being written as a play and then made into a film in 1978... In 1983, it then went back to the stage, but as a musical. The musical opened in Broadway in 1983. And again, it was before its time there as well, in regards to representation of a gay couple. And of course, that's where the famous song, I Am What I Am, comes from, which is a gay anthem these days. Please let me know what you think of the film if you do get around to watching it, or if you have already watched it as well. Please let me know what your thoughts are, what you think of it. Please get in contact. As a little teaser to the sequels, the subjects are Folle Cage aux Folles 2, which is actually my favourite out of the three. Very briefly, the premise is it turns into a kind of spy and espionage film, and they have to flee the country from France into Italy and go into hiding. But that's my absolute favourite out of the three. And then for the third one, Albin actually inherits a huge amount of money, but only on the proviso that he marries a woman. So I'm quite sure you can imagine what that entails as well. Hopefully I'm going to review those at some later stage for you. But if you can't wait, please go ahead, watch them, let me know what you think. So that's my film recommendation for this episode. I hope you enjoy. Moving on to my first ever recommendation for a French song, in a section I'm calling La Musique. So I'm starting my very first song choice a little bit controversially, because obviously it's in the French language, but it's actually not by a French national. It's by a Belgian national, a fantastic, fantastic artist who goes by the name of Stromae. So Stromae. For those of you who don't know, he mainly specializes in rap, hip hop, or electronic music. So he's got some fantastic songs out. He's not mainstream at all, although it does come under the category of pop music, but he's really not mainstream. What I like about his work is he includes a lot of hidden undertext and a lot of hidden meanings in his songs, and they're very often political. They're very often about big issues of the day. For this first song, I'm going to choose his most famous hit today, which is called Tous les mêmes, so translated All the Same. I should say at this point, it's such a shame I can't include any clips of the films or the music that I'm recommending for copyright reasons. So what I would suggest, but not until you finish listening to my podcast, obviously, is to go on to, I don't know, YouTube or Spotify or whatever platform you use, and search for these recommendations. It's such a shame because all I can do is actually try and describe the song to you, but it's a cracking tune. What caught my attention straight away, as well as the tune and the music itself, was the fact that in the video and the song itself is actually written as if it's being sung, or the story being told, by two different people, by a man and a woman, by a couple who are together. So, for example, the first verse he'll sing as the man, and then the second verse, or the chorus, he'll sing as the woman. So in his true style, there's very hidden meanings in the words. So it starts off, vous les hommes et tous les mêmes, macho mais cheap. So you guys are all the same, cheap, macho men. Bande de mauvais infidèles, si prévisible. Non, je suis pas certain que tu me mérites. Unfaithful fools, you're so predictable. I'm not even sure that you deserve me. And that's the woman's character. And then the guy comes in. Rendez-vous au prochain règlement. Vous sûrement au prochain règle. So he's talking about rendez-vous au prochain règlement. So he's talking about the next argument. So we're going to have another argument. But then the word règlement is very similar to the word règle, which is the time of the month for the female character. So he's implying it's around the female character's time of the month. So the song then goes on to talk about the woman's desire to have kids. So although he was criticised by a lot of people as sounding sexist in this song, he said in interviews that he's basically making a statement of how relationships are seen. And if you read the lyrics, I think it can be taken several interpretations of his meaning in the song. The last chorus is tous les mêmes et y'en ai marre. So we're all the same and we're sick of it. You know, there's always an argument that if in when couples are fighting, there's always two sides to every story. There's always two reasons why people are, you know, why the fighting happens in the first place. So this song is very catchy, very addictive. You'll be humming it all day long, like I regularly do. But also the video is well worth a watch as well. He's dressed half his body as a man, half as a woman, and then he turns his head, and it's quite incredible, really, as he takes on a different character to sing the different verses. So I'll put up on my Instagram page a picture of Stromae dressed as the two characters in the film. But it's great representation of gender expression. The video also very cleverly uses lighting to portray the feminine and the masculine characters with pink and blue lighting as well. And it's so clever that the way that he does it so effortlessly and quickly, including the mannerisms in his acting as well. So the song really is about the male's preconceived notion about the female's irritability during their time of the month. So this video, the song and the video, really pushes boundaries about society and how men can be vulnerable and women can be tough or perceived for both sexes to be vulnerable and tough. So that's definitely my recommendation for the week. Hope you enjoy. Let me know again what you think, and also what you think about the interpretation of the song too, and the meaning. Enjoy. Bon app. If you're like me, you absolutely love French food, as well as the wine, the cheese, the bread. There's also the patisseries. So for my first recommendation of French food on this episode, I've chosen classic French patisserie. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it's definitely my favourite French patisserie out of all of them. And it's called Paris-Brest. So literally Paris-Brest, B-R-E-S-T. For those of you who don't know, Brest is either a town or a city on the west coast of France. So what it is, It's choux pastry. So it's a choux pastry. It's basically, imagine a donut made out of choux pastry, then cut in half across the middle. So you've got two donuts, two very thin donuts. They then pipe creme patisserie cream with praline flavouring. So you've got the hazel, it's basically hazelnutty cream that they pipe in little rosettes in the middle and then put the top back on. So it's a puffed up donut, basically. Open donut, as it were. So it was created in 1910 by a chap called Louis Durand, who worked at Maison Lafitte. And basically, it's to commemorate, and the reason why it's called Paris-Brest is to commemorate a bicycle race that he invented between Paris and this town in Brest in 1891. So the idea is, it looks like a bicycle wheel with the rosettes and the hollow centre. It's absolutely fantastic. It's a real luxury, indulgent treat. Highly recommend it to anyone. Quite sure if you're not going to France anytime soon, I'm quite sure you can find it in a French patisserie somewhere in the UK too, or wherever you're listening from. So enjoy. Et bon appétit. Word. Le mot du jour. So for our very first word of the podcast, I've chosen something that a lot of people will be familiar with already. It's from Home Alone, the movie. Am I the only one that absolutely loves Home Alone, the movie? Let me know if this is one of your favourite movies, especially at Christmas time too. So it's one of my other half's favourite sayings. He's forever going around saying this. And it's funny how one line from a movie can be used so much. And the word is les incompetents. So it's the scene where I think Macaulay Culkin's sister says to him, Kevin, you're what the French call les incompetents. So it's inaccurate because she's talking to one person. So she should say, Kevin, you're what the French call la personne incompetente. Which doesn't really have the same ring to it, so that's why I'm guessing they've used the plural, les incompetents. But I just thought it's quite an iconic French word from an American movie. So I hope you've enjoyed, and I hope you go around using it as much as possible. Les incompetents. So thank you for listening to my very first podcast of It's All French to Me. I'd love to hear any suggestions or questions. Please contact me by email. So my email address is itsallfrenchtome@outlook.com. So it's all one word, all put together. itsallfrenchtome@outlook.com. Alternatively, please leave a voice message if you don't mind me including the recording in a future episode. Just click on the podcast page, the little button that says voice message. And I promise I'll take on board any suggestions made. I'll also be posting pictures relating to what I've talked about in this episode on my Instagram page. Look for It's All French 2, all one word. In case you were wondering, the reason why there's no me on the end is because Instagram have a character count, and it would seem It's All French to Me was too long, so they just cut off the me. So it's T-O, not T-O-O. And give me a follow. Thanks very much. So I hope you join me in a fortnight's time for the next episode to give you some clues of what I'll be talking about. We'll be travelling back in time, and hopefully we'll get to see Mickey too. So until next time, thanks for listening. Et à bientôt.